summer and the summer solstice, and I'll talk about that in a minute. On the bulletin, on the front of the bulletin this morning is a great quote from our kind of our supplemental book for the month, How to Use Your 12 Gifts from God. William Wirtz says, imagination is the eye of your consciousness. It is your ability to perceive the limitless possibilities of your good. It is that point of your consciousness where you can see and picture your desire. Even though that which you desire is still invisible, you can see it with your mind's eye. When you combine the use of faith with imagination, you see and know. It is only a matter of time from that point until your desire becomes an object in existence. So think about the experience of the summer solstice, and this is the longest day of the year. And I did a little research because I thought I knew, but I wanted to know what I was talking about, which is always a very good thing. And what I found was the sun exerts its maximum power at the solstice because the tilt of the Earth's axis makes the sun's rays most nearly parallel on that date at points in the northern hemisphere. So the longest day, the sun is its strongest on this day. And the solstices, as you probably know, have been celebrated over time. Nature, and we don't do this so much anymore, although the pagans and the Wiccans and some other spiritual practices, and I call them spiritual practices because I believe they are much more involved in nature and the change of seasons and the directions and other elements of Mother Earth, if you will. Traditionally, summer solstice was considered a time of fullness of life, worldly blessings, and celebration. And I think we get cheated maybe just a little in San Diego because, wow, it's the first day of summer, big woo, you know? It looks the same as it did yesterday. It looks the same as it's probably going to look tomorrow. You know, the ideal job, our friend from Boston used to tease us, the ideal job would be to be the weather person in San Diego because it's going to be sunny and 70 degrees. Even in February, very often, it's sunny and 70 degrees. But as we know in many other places around the country and around the world, that's not their experience. And I remember when Jerry and I lived in Boston, it was the winter of our discontent. It was the winter of 94, and it was an amazing opportunity. And in no way do I mean to discount it or talk negatively about it, because it was an amazing experience. But keeping in mind that I was born and raised in San Diego, so winter, anything below 50 degrees, snow, rain, all of these weather things were amazing experiences. And so we got there in February, and from February until, I want to say, the beginning of April, it was 29 degrees. I worked in a skyscraper in downtown Boston, which was very cool. Literally, but it was neat to be there and be in downtown and the energy and all of that. But you'd get in the elevator and the elevator would show the time and temperature, and it would be 29 degrees when I got in the elevator in the morning, and it would be 29 degrees when I got in the elevator to go home. And I asked somebody, is it broken? And they said, no, it's winter in Boston. And those of you from the East Coast or who have spent time in the East Coast, you know that it's gray and brown and white. And gray and brown and white. And then there was a day. There was a day, the beginning of April, when the mercury got to 50. And people were getting in trouble, well, almost getting in trouble, because they wanted to take their office chairs and knock out the windows so that they could get this wonderfully warm air, because they knew that spring was coming, which meant summer was coming. We don't have to do that so much in the West, and especially in the Southwest, but it's an amazing experience, and I kind of missed that for a while. I don't so much anymore. I don't miss the having three or four wardrobes, and I don't miss having to dig the car out of the snow. But it's an amazing experience to go from that intense cold to that amazing warmth and that wonderful sunshine. If you do church in the upper Midwest or the East, don't bother planning anything in the evenings during the summer because everybody's outside. I have a dear friend that has a church in Milwaukee, and we were talking, and she said, you know, we just don't do it. We don't do anything in the evenings during the summer because everybody wants to be outside, which makes perfect sense. They're right there on the lake, and you got to be out, and you got to take advantage of it as you can because you know that winter's coming. So we have to be out there and be doing that, and our picnics and our sitting by the lake and just whatever it is. So it's a very different life than what we experience. But yet we get this experience of summer because in San Diego we have the May gray and the June gloom. And, you know, even though we're not putting fires in the fireplace, still it's cool and cloudy and maybe we miss that bright sunshine, which brings us to this experience of this morning and all the gray burned off, and the wonderful, wonderful and beautiful sunshine. In the pagan and Wiccan traditions, the summer solstice celebrates the joy, warmth, and laughter of summer, and for some, the power of the universe. The beginning of summer represents a time for purification, renewal, and healing of the self and soul, a time to release the sadness, fear, and pains from your life. Those days of winter, those intense days of winter where you bundle up and go out and slog through to get through the day so that you could come home, kind of can represent our experience of regret, of our experience of grieving something that's happened, our experience of lack and struggle that we just go along, that we just can't, somehow we can't break through that feeling of whatever it is until we get to that point where we can and the sun begins to shine through. Sometimes we think, oh, the sun isn't shining until we can see it, but we know that it's always shining. We just can't necessarily see it because we're in a different place. Summer reminds us that it's always been there and is now our experience. So we burn off the May gray and the June gloom and go into what a dear friend of ours used to call July fry. And so we know that's coming. We know that's coming, and that's okay because it's part of our experience. And thank the universe for the experience of air conditioning because when we need it, and solar power perhaps, and so we use it when we need it, and it's wonderful, and we just have this experience called life. In the burning off of the May gray and the June gloom and stepping into summer, we get to see more clearly. Sometimes it's, and this thing called our imagination, you know, we're always using it to create something. Sometimes we're using it to create something that if we'd been paying attention, we so wouldn't have chosen to create that, but nonetheless, that's what we did because we did the best we could at the time. Sometimes we use it to judge by appearances. And I talked about this last week, I think it was last week. Judging by appearances and looking at a situation and seeing what it is from our point of view of perhaps judgment and perhaps struggle as compared to wonder. I don't know about you, but I need to know. If you spend time with me, and I'm working on this, and I'm better than I was, and I would encourage you to agree with me when I say this, that I'm better than I was, but I have a little thing with control. This is how it's supposed to be, and this is where it's supposed to be, and this is how it, if it looks this way, this is how it is. And very often our imagination takes us down that wonderful path of, this is how it looks. I got a letter from the IRS. I didn't, but perhaps I got a letter from the IRS. Ever had that experience? Fresno, 93888. It's their zip code. You got a letter. Oh boy. I'm going to be audited. I owe money from a previous year. They're going to take my birthday away from me. What organization are we more afraid of in this country than the IRS? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But you know what? This just so cracks me up. I am convinced that the senior people or whoever makes these decisions at the IRS have an amazing sense of humor, because do you know that they're going to send you a letter if they owe you money? It's the same return address. It's the same white envelope. Sweet mother, what am I going to do if I owe them money? So your hands shaking with trepidation, we open the letter because our imagination is doing what it does, and we're going to have to sell the dog, and we're going to have to do all these other things so we can pay this terrible bill. And it's a letter from the IRS saying they're sending us a refund. You're kidding, right? You're sending me a letter telling me you're going to send me money? I think that takes a sense of humor. I just really do. The point is, we have an appearance of something, and our imagination goes down the road creating this story about what's going to happen. The wonderful thing about our imagination is that it's ours. And that story that we've created, because we created it, we can change it. Our imagination gives us the opportunity to change the story about whatever it is, the story with people in our lives. And because it's always our story, we don't know. They might have said something, they might have done something, but we don't know what they were really feeling. We don't know what they really believed, so we get to make up the story, and ideally one that feels better. The teachings of Abraham Hicks talks about looking for a thought that feels better, and that's really all we're doing, is looking for a thought that feels better, because it's always our choice. Imagination calls many of our other gifts into play, and some of those we've already talked about earlier this year. Imagination invites us to use the power of strength. I've decided that I'm going to receive this, whatever this is. I make my decision, I do my spiritual mind treatment, my affirmative prayer work, and I stay. And I say, and so it is, and I stay focused on that goal, on that intention, until it manifests for me without going down the various roads of, well, I don't know how you're going to pay for that. I don't know how that's going to happen for you. I don't know how that's going to work out. We use this power of strength to stay focused on the fact that, and the truth that, none of the rest of that stuff is our business. Our business is to stay focused on the manifestation of whatever it is. We use the power of strength, of faith, to know that it's going to happen. Again, without getting into the weeds, into the minutiae, into the doubt, into the appearance. Imagination allows us to use the power of wisdom. The still small voice is the most amazing thing. Call it intuition, call it the Holy Spirit, call it whatever you want to call it, but you've had that. You want a parking place? Go down this way. I was someplace. I pick on Costco whenever I tell these stories. It wasn't Costco, but it was someplace, and I wanted to get it in and out fairly quickly, and so I'm driving along. Well, there's no way in the world that you're going to get one right up next to the door, but still small voice says, well, if you want one, so first space. Amazing, and yet not. Our intuition, our wisdom, that's what we use to find the car keys. That wisdom, that intuition, that still small voice is what we use in so many ways. And so how often do we discount it as, gee, what a strange coincidence. Where did that idea come from? We knew where that idea came from. It came from the wisdom of the universe. It came from this wonderful gift of intuition. Our gift of imagination allows us to see outside the box. In the business world, and at least they did when I was in the business world, they talked about thinking outside the box. And the box is, it's always been done this way. It should always be this way. It should not be this way. We've always done it this way. This is how it's supposed to be. And being outside the box allows us to do things we've never done before, to think things we've never thought before, to choose things we've never chosen before. Because we can't have something new and wonderful if we keep doing the same thing we've done before. And there's an expression for that that I don't quite have, but you get the gist of it. If nothing changes, nothing changes. So this gift of imagination, once we use it to determine what we want, we use it to say, okay, now how are we going to get there? What are we going to do? Who are we going to call? How is this, not how is this going to happen for us, but what's my part of this experience to get me to the end of the road? Sometimes we have to think outside the box to change the story. And if you have family, you have family stuff. And family stuff, using a purely metaphysical term, family stuff is just the most wonderful experience because I don't know about you, but for me, it keeps allowing me to think outside the box. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. What does it mean? We use this amazing gift of imagination sometimes to go down the rabbit hole and get insulted and hurt and all the rest of that nonsense. And sometimes we start down, or I don't know about you, but sometimes I start down the hole and the still small voice says, yeah. But remembering A Course in Miracles, I could have peace instead of this. So because I don't know exactly what they meant, and very often it's in an email, and if you ever are trying to solve a situation by email, my experience has been just light yourself on fire and have done with it. It's way less painful. Pick up the phone. Go and sit. It's so much easier because we work it out together and we come from a place of love, and maybe we come from a place of frustration, but we allow ourselves to work it out rather than zinging back and forth because you can't put inflection in an email. Yes, you can bold it. Yes, you can capitalize it, but that's all you can do, neither of which probably accomplish anything good. So our imagination and thinking out of the box and feeling out of the box allows us to decide how we're going to interpret this. I think it's Abraham Hicks that talks about experiences in the kitchen. And you go into the kitchen and you're going to create an apple pie. Excuse me. And there's nutmeg in the spice cabinet, and there's the apples in the fridge, and there's the flour and the sugar and the eggs and all the other stuff that you put in your apple pie. And there's paprika, and there's garlic salt, and there's a whole pepper, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that you wouldn't put in the apple pie. So what do you do? Do you throw out the stuff in the kitchen that you don't need for that apple pie? Or do you just pick what you want? You just pick what you want. Imagination allows us to just ignore that we don't want and choose that which we do, looking for a thought that feels better. What does this mean? We always attach the meaning to whatever it is. And sometimes it's a conscious, I don't know about you, but for me, it is a conscious choice to not take that personally. Sometimes it's a conscious choice. Sometimes I gotta hang on to something because I'm working through this and I'm doing the e-ticket ride here so that, and those of you that are old enough, remember at Disneyland, there used to be e-ticket rides, and don't tell me it was before your time. It's an e-ticket, and you hold on for dear life because my ego just so wants to be hurt. And my ego just wants to scream, and I just want to have this reaction that does me no good whatsoever. But I could have peace instead of this. It's always our choice. Our imagination allows us to make that choice that feels better, to label whatever it is in a way that feels better. We always get to choose. With renewed energy of the summer solstice, all things are possible. I love the concept, because I don't know about you, but when was the last time I was at the beach? Not talking to you. When was the last time we were at the beach? Probably when we had company from out of town. There's that great big puddle of water over there that we never go to because it's just, well, it is a long drive from La Mesa. You know, it would take us 15 minutes. So, you know, I got to pack a lunch. How much time do we spend in nature? Or even, for Cliff and Lori, looking at the ocean from the distance. Y'all do that. But for us that are landlocked in, you know, 10 or 15 miles away from the water, when was the last time we went to the beach or the mountains or the desert or just any of those amazing experiences? Probably, I don't know about you, but it's been a while for me. The summer solstice reminds us of the power of the universe. I was thinking about something not too long ago. I don't remember what it was, and my ego said, well, you know. And the still small voice said, why not? Why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you have that? Why couldn't you go there? What do we plan for the rest of the year? Do we plan to somehow muddle through? Do we plan to somehow do what we did last year so that next year we can do what we did this year? Or do we use our imaginations to create that greater good, set the intention for whatever it is, knowing that the universe has a way to create what we need to make that happen? I want to go to either New York City or Miami for New Year's. And I think we're going to Kentucky for Christmas. So we're going to be close to the East Coast anyway. So you're going to be there, so just hop the flight onto the next leg. Well, vacation time, money, and what am I planning for? What am I planning for? We get to decide. But if we're not using our imaginations consciously, then it'll be the same as it was last year, which will be the same as it will be next year, and it's the same thing. And that's okay. But when we're ready, our imaginations will take us, but we have to allow ourselves to think outside that box. And not discount, not negate those ideas. It's always up to us. The solstice is a day to see the Creator in everyone you come in contact with and to recognize their divinity along with the recognition of your own, and I would add everyone else's as well. This morning we hold in love and compassion the people in Charleston, South Carolina. And there's been a lot of postings on Facebook and a lot of postings from other New Thought ministers about what does this mean? And what it meant for me when I step out of judgment, when I step out of how it should have been, what it meant for me was a reminder of where in my life am I not inclusive? Where in my life do I offer judgment? Where in my life do I think somebody could be taking something away from me? Think about the wars we've fought over time. Weren't most of them because somebody had something that somebody else wanted, and they thought that the only way that they could get it was to fight them for it? My good is my good by right of consciousness. It is not possible for anybody else to take my good away from me. May we know that. May we know that for ourselves. We don't need to fear someone we don't understand. We don't need to fear someone who we're worried about is going to take our good away from us, because they can't. Our good is our good. We got it by right of consciousness. Someone said that a thought anywhere is thought everywhere, because there's only one mind. So as we recognize this in our lives, we allow others to do the same. So we love them, we bless them, and we know for them that Spirit is their source, just as it is ours. And there's no need for fear. There's no need for hate. There's no need for struggle. All we need to do is accept the gifts that have been given. So we hold them in the light this morning. This gift of imagination is light and warmth. It allows us to see the truth about a situation, to see differently, and to decide. And if this that we're seeing doesn't work for us, to choose our vision, to change our vision, to change our feelings, and to choose something that feels better. So this day of solstice, I invite us to use this light. Where am I ready to direct my imagination to the better, to the greater, or releasing that no longer serves me? If you're frolicking with family this afternoon for Father's Day, and happy Father's to the fathers in the room, and happy Father's Day to everyone else in the room. Bought flowers this morning, and the lady said, "Happy Father's Day," and I said, "Same to you." There's a little father in all of us, and there's a little mother in all of us. We honor our fathers today, and we honor whether our earthly father was exactly as we would have chosen or not. It's a great day for forgiveness. Maybe they were absolutely wonderful, but they left too soon. It's a great day for forgiveness. With that in mind, join me in the light for just a moment. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we allow ourselves to be reminded of our oneness with the God presence, with one another, and with all of life. And we give thanks for this day, this experience of the summer solstice, and the experience of light and wisdom and warmth. And we allow ourselves to use this wonderful gift of imagination to heal that which needs to be healed, to forgive that which needs to be forgiven, to create that which we're ready to create, to live this life in the most amazing way, since that's what we came here for, and to consciously choose how it will be, to look for a thought that feels better when we need to say, yes, thank you, and more, please. We give thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning, and together we say, and so it is.